Resting right here in the heart of the retreat. The practice is palpable. The silence is contagious. And the energy that we have all generated together allows each of us to ride into our practice on the stream of life force that is flowing through us, that we're sharing with each other. We chose to focus the Brahmaviharas on metta, loving kindness, and karuna, because we felt that those were two practices that we really need to settle down into our bodies on a very personal level. So this afternoon, I'm going to open up with karuna, compassion practice. And as stated by the late Dalai Lama, the starting point from which we begin to cultivate compassionate action is from within. When we can have compassion for ourselves, we are more capable of the clarity and understanding necessary to be more flexible and tolerant of other people, conditions, and circumstances. And he also said that love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. And without them, humanity cannot survive. The loving kindness of metta and the compassionate care of karuna are qualities that we must advance in all that we do. When we cultivate these sublime states in our hearts, we gift ourselves and the world with safety and care. We become a refuge to ourselves and to one another. As understood from the First Noble Truth, unpleasant circumstances and events surround us every moment of our lives. Suffering and harm is unavoidable. There's no way around it. And we will all stumble, and we will all fail and fall. That's a given. And if we are in alignment with this understanding, these missteps are something that we can expect and accept. There's no place for self-judgment or for raising our shields to harbor shame and guilt. These are unwholesome and not helpful. It's a beautiful thing to cultivate personal liberation of the heart. In fact, it's a revolutionary act that goes against the stream of our cultural conditioning. And as mentioned a few days ago, it is the content of our hearts that make up the world, not our bodies. The world is not outside, we are the world. When we look out and we see devastation and destruction and the numbness of passivity, It is a delusion to think that we ourselves are not a part of that downstream momentum. And it takes tremendous courage of heart and commitment to swim upstream against the current. And that's why we've chosen to turn towards the cultivation of karuna, compassion. Karuna, the Brahmavihara of compassion. Karuna is a deep awareness of the suffering of another, coupled, though, not just an awareness, coupled with the wish to relieve it. That's a very important understanding. The wish to relieve it. It is also a deep awareness of our own suffering, coupled with a wish to not just go through it, but to take action to free ourselves of it, of the suffering. Sometimes we can get compassion confused with pity. Pity is the near opposite of compassion. It's a way that distances us from the suffering of others. It is not really a way to offer compassion. Oh, I feel sorry for him, or oh, I feel sorry for them. Instead, pity promotes actually a feeling of superiority. Pity is an offering of the performance of compassion. It is not the real thing. It's hierarchical. It places us above those that we pity. It is not compassion, but a near enemy, really. Another energy that's close to compassion is codependence. The urge to fix, the urge to get involved, to problem solve. Sometimes in the urgency to fix for others, you can actually make things worse. You can de-empower rather than empower. Compassion is an impulse that arises spontaneously within the body and moves towards action. Within the realm of compassion, there is a wisdom and insight that's necessary to inform the actions that we take. The far enemy of compassion, of course, is cruelty. And cruelty is the enjoyment of seeing suffering in the world. It's hard to imagine that that can even exist. But it's everywhere. And compassion is related to the word console, which means to alleviate or lessen grief, sorrow, or disappointment, and to offer solace and comfort. So compassion is a verb. It's not a noun. Compassion is integral to action. And here's where it gets heightened, because it's a fierce heart that can withstand the emotional challenges that accompany opening the heart to tenderness and compassion in the face of adversity, because it involves a willingness to feel the pain of suffering a willingness to suffer with the pain. That requires courage. It's so easy to have the tendency to turn our face away from that which we would not see, that which hurts us. Horror and terror. Let me not look at it. It requires tremendous courage, courage of heart. The great teacher, Dipa Ma, informs us that when the heart is not afraid, love can pour through. When the heart is blocked, it's blocked both ways. Love can't flow through and love can't come in. When we cultivate compassion, we can expect the fear of pain to arise. We can expect it because compassion loosens and uncovers the hardened shells of the crusted layers that we've built up on the heart. It throws back the coverings of the heart that have grown in place over a lifetime, these false refuges that we call protection. They're not protectors. You know, when I'm deeply silent, I can hear my heartbeat. Sometimes I can hear the valves of my heart opening and closing. And I have often gotten really frightened to think that this organ in my body is beating. I don't know how many times a minute, all day, all week, all year, every single day of my life. Our lives are fragile, but the heart is strong. How can that be? Sometimes it frightens me. It's like, my heart is beating, it's beating. It's beating forever. And it will stop one day. But at this time in my life, I look back and I think of how many beats my heart has taken to nourish my body. It is not a fragile organ. And that's on a very coarse material level. On a more subtle level, it is powerful. It is powerful to have an opened heart, and in order for the heart to be open, you have to be fierce. The mind heart is really, though, is not so prone to give up those coverings just because we asked it to. For they've been protective coverings, homegrown and customized to fit each of our unique experiences. We each do something different to so-called protect our heart. Some of us disassociate. Some of us just refuse to let love in. Some of us clamp down the arteries of the heart, anesthetize it, drug it. We all have our ways. But without all of these so-called protections, when they get stripped away, it can become very fearful, because then we become naked, just as we are. without protective coverings. This is why Karuna both requires and cultivates deep courage. The practice of self-compassion generates self-confidence. The practice of self-compassion generates self-confidence through self-acceptance. I'm going to say that again. The practice of self-compassion generates self-confidence through self-acceptance. When we fully accept ourselves unarmored, unmasked, just as we are, we stand in the power of our self-knowledge, and we are better able to accept others in the innumerable variations the world has to offer, just as they are. Lao Tzu, the ancient Chinese philosopher, writer, and author of the Tao Te Ching, simply states that from caring comes courage. It takes courage just to care. I think it's much easier to become numb. It takes courage just to care. The insight of compassion arises from the direct experience of suffering, of facing our suffering, knowing it, again, becoming intimate with it. If we cannot face our sorrows, the sorrows of our lives and the sorrows of the world, we can only perform compassion. I've seen and experienced many a compassionate performance that did not flow from the heart. Courage can be called wise effort. It is a fearlessness that goes beyond our zones of safety. Wisdom informs us of the boundary and prevents us from traversing the breaking point into self-harm. Wisdom guides us to exercise courage within the heart only enough to stretch its capacity, but not to break it. As we grapple with bringing compassionate action into the troubles of the world, I'd like to invoke the words of another writer and poet and social activist, Thomas Merton. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, is to succumb to violence. Wisdom only stretches us, stretches our compassion far enough, and the more we exercise compassion, the farther our courage stretches. Our work in the world requires that we act from an understanding of what it is to have self-compassion. Again, back to the self, back to our own hearts. So I would like to engage us now in a compassion practice. So find that posture of comfort and ease. Find a compassionate posture. Let's bring compassion into the room right now. Notice if you are holding any tightness. Can you sink your body down into the earth any more than you are right now? Find the compassion of your posture, the kindness. Start there. And I will offer some phrases, beginning with ourselves. May I hold myself in compassion. May I meet the suffering and ignorance of others with compassion. May I forgive myself. May I forgive myself. May I forgive myself for any harm I may have caused myself. May I come to more acceptance of my pain and sorrow. May I come to more acceptance of my pain and sorrow. May my pain be eased. May my pain be eased. May my pain be eased. May I hold myself in tender compassion. May I hold myself in tender compassion. and breathe these words into your heart. May I forgive myself. May I forgive myself for any harm I may have caused my own heart, my own mind, my own body. May I forgive myself. May I be patient with myself. May I have patience with what I perceive to be shortcomings. May I have patience with myself. May I have patience. May I come to more acceptance of my pain and sorrow. May I come to more acceptance of my own pain and sorrow. My grief. May my pain be eased. May my pain be eased. May my pain be eased. The invitation in this moment is to formulate compassion phrases that are unique to your needs of the heart. As you have listened to your bodies, cultivated this practice during this time, and what you have left behind before coming here. Now is an opportunity to formulate compassion phrases for your own heart, unique to you and your needs and your healing. Don't hold back in offering yourself compassion. And as you engage in this practice, notice the quality of mind. Be aware of your capacity to offer karuna to yourself. Stay in your practice. These phrases are unique to the needs of your heart. Take a moment to connect with the breath as we begin to shift to offering compassion to others. Starting from the core of our own hearts, may you be held and cared for lovingly. Perhaps there is someone that you would like to bring to mind to formulate their image before you. May you be held and cared for lovingly. May you be met with acceptance and patience. I care for your pain. May your pain be eased. May you meet the suffering within with self-compassion. May you forgive yourself. I care for your pain and suffering. May it be eased. May you meet yourself with acceptance and patience. May your pain and suffering be eased. May you meet yourself with acceptance and patience. May you hold yourself in loving compassion. I care for your pain. And take some time to cycle through a few phrases of your own. If you have an image of someone that you are offering compassion to, offer them the unique phrases that land on their hearts. It can be as simple as I care for your pain, May your pain be eased. There is no need to protect the heart. It is powerful and resilient. It functions better uncovered, that it might shine its light out into the world and be a beacon to those who feel lost. It is our protector. It protects us from numbness. From walking lifelessly through the world. It brings us to joy. One of the most powerful emotions we can experience. That makes life worth living. When we protect the heart, we live a half life. I'd like to end our practice with this quote. As we enter the body with breath and awareness, descending under the conditioned and guided by new levels of curiosity, kindness, and care, we may come to appreciate our neurosis, our heartbreak, our fear, our disappointment, our failure or doubt or confusion, and our fragility. No longer viewing these forms as evidence of our lack of awakening or that we have fallen short, but as unique portals and invitations back into the center. That from Matt Licata. From the book, The Path is Everywhere, Uncovering the Jewels Hidden Within You. May you hold this experience in kindness and compassion.